Okay. It's not a tape, actually. We call it a tape. It's just habit to call it a tape.
Yeah.
It's a digitally converted audio signal in a form of a whatever. Okay. So, okay, our only picture from this week is the crew. The one we missed yesterday was Michael. We missed Michael. But actually, I think Andres played the role of Michael, crushing the boxes and all that sort of stuff. And we did about 650 boxes, and we did it in just over an hour. We cranked. You should have seen Brianna, man. She was just... All right, so that's good. And I want to acknowledge what's going on in L.A. I know of at least one brother whose family lost their house. I'm sure there's others. Ken was down there trying to help out. The only thing is there's so many people trying to help out, he had trouble finding a way to actually help out. But his heart was totally there. And he could tell you some stories. You could ask him afterwards about that. All right. And that obviously we're going to be praying for that, of course. All right. So we're in Leviticus. Again, normally you don't hear a super lot of sermons from Leviticus. You know, I was going through the section in Leviticus about the ordination of the priests and the fat around the kidney and the lobe of the liver. I'm like, okay, this doesn't preach super well. But actually, if you think of the things in Leviticus as foreshadows of things we have in Christ, it's actually a deep well of really cool stuff. Some inspiring, some interesting, some challenging, but none boring. Well, maybe. Maybe occasionally. But what we're going to do is we're going to skip the boring parts. So that'll help. Okay? So our theme verse from Leviticus 11:45, where God says, I'm the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I'm holy. All right? And so far, remember, this is our outline of Leviticus, the five main sacrifices. All right, we talked about that. I'll review that a little bit. And then today, the Levitical priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, if you will, and the high priesthood. And then various laws. There's like 13 chapters of laws. And then things about the festivals. All right? And the main themes in Leviticus are sacrifice, priesthood, law, festivals, and also tabernacle. But like we said, the tabernacle is not covered, interestingly, in Leviticus, so we did that from Exodus. All right, and so we talked about the five main sacrifices and a couple others as well. And we talked about the sweet-smelling sacrifices. These are the ones that Jesus gives that we can also give. So we can give a burnt offering, a grain offering, a drink offering, a fellowship offering. The burnt offering is we give our life to God. The grain offering we give of what he's blessed us with. It's the only required one of these offerings. The drink offering we pour ourselves out. And the fellowship offering which we just party and are thankful for what God has done for us. Right? And we saw at Romans 12, 1 and 2, how God, in the New Testament, we're told to give a burnt offering. And in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 7, we're encouraged to give a drink offering. And the 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. You writing this down? You writing this down, Francisco? Welcome, Francisco. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, we see described essentially are giving a thank offering, or a peace offering, if you will. Then we talked about the blood sacrifices last week. All right, and these are not sweet-smelling savers. No, they're actually a stench. And they're offered generally outside the camp. And Jesus gave a sin offering for offenses against God and a guilt offering for offenses against our brother and our sister. And we saw some differences. For example, when you sin against your brother or sister, you had to make restitution before getting right with God. And we talked about some of the practical stuff there. Got it? And then we talked about why that's the type. The type is the Jewish sacrificial system, but the antitype, the sacrifice of Christ, is so much greater. Because the Levitical sacrifices just gave outward cleanness. It made it so they could worship, but it didn't create inward cleanness. They remained guilty. And it had to be done again and again and again and again. But Jesus sacrifices once for all. And we talked about that. Those sacrifices left them feeling guilty. With the sacrifices of Christ, we have a clear conscience. And they didn't really provide purification for sin, certainly not for willful sin. Anyway, so we're going to move on now, though. We're going to talk about priesthood. All right? Now, some pretty basic type basics, okay? So we have the Levites, the priesthood of Aaron, the high priesthood, and the priesthood of Melchizedek. All right? So why the Levites? And by the way, I'm embarrassed to admit, I didn't know the answer to this. I've been a Christian for 46 years. I thought I knew the answer for why God chose the Levites to be the priests, but I didn't know. I had to look it up. Guess where I looked it up? No, in Wikipedia. Found out Wikipedia, but they reference the Bible. They reference the Bible. So there's 12 tribes, or arguably 13 with Manasseh and Ephraim, all that sort of stuff. Why Levi? Well, it turns out we already found the answer. I just hadn't noticed it because when Israel was unfaithful at Mount Sinai and worshiping the golden calf, the Levites refused to do that. They were the only tribe that refused to do that. And therefore, because they kept themselves holy, refused to worship the golden calf, God said, okay, great. Those are the ones that we're going to be able to trust to be the priests. So that tells us a little bit of something. Anyway, the Levites, that was one of the tribes. And there were many, many Levites, you know, tens of thousands of Levites. And their job was not to be a priest, but to serve in the tabernacle. In fact, there's a whole section in, Numbers 3 through 4 of, you know, the Merarites carry the poles and the Gershonites, all this stuff you probably won't care very much about, honestly. But so the Levites then, according to 1 Chronicles 6:48-49, see, Michael's taking notes. Zane's taking notes. All right. They weren't able to enter the holy place. Only the priests could. And so who were the priests? The priests were the sons of Aaron. All right. So when we look at the priesthood of Aaron, that's a type or a foreshadow of us as Christians. So we are the New Testament equivalent of those priests. So we're not going to be looking at the Levites so much this morning. We're going to be looking at the priests, the Aaronic priests. All right, the sons of Aaron. All right, the Kohens, if you will. And they made the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, the fellowship offerings, the sin and guilt offerings. They served in the holy place. They were the ones that would bring the bread in and replace it. And they would replace the oil in the menorah. There were 24 rounds, if you will, 24 orders of priests. So every 24 weeks, the priests would have to come to Jerusalem, serve for a week, and then they'd have to get the next 23 weeks off, basically. That's how it worked. So they did all the stuff that happened in the tabernacle and later on what happened in the temple. And then there's the high priest. The high priest was chosen from amongst the priests, and the main function of the high priest was to offer the sacrifices at the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Got it? All right, and of course, the high priest, when we look at this priesthood, we're looking at a foreshadow of us. So when we learn, trust me, we're going to learn about the priesthood of Aaron today, okay? We're going to learn about that, and we're going to say, all right, that applies to me, that applies to me, that applies to me, that applies to me. Got it? But then we'll look at the high priest and we'll see these things apply to Jesus. All right? And there's a distinction there. Okay? Got it? So we're not going to talk about the high priest today. We're going to talk about this one. And then of course Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is the one who serves in the inner sanctuary, Hebrews chapter 9, the real one, the one in heaven. but he is not of the order of Aaron. So he's a special high priest who's a descendant spiritually of Melchizedek. So next Sunday we're going to talk about good old Melchizedek. That'll be cool stuff. Okay, Melchizedek, Psalm 110, verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You, Messiah, are a priest forever of the order of Melchizedek. Next week. Okay, so now let's get down to the priesthood of Levi. Exodus 19:6. We already read Exodus 19:6, but I want to go back there. Exodus 19, verse 6. It says, I'll start in verse 5. Now, if you obey me fully, remember that? If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you'll be my treasured possession. We saw the problem with that, which is they didn't. All right? So, therefore, verse 6 didn't apply to them for that reason. However, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And that's a prophecy about the church. We are that kingdom of priests. And our most famous passage in the New Testament about that, of course, is in 1 Peter 2:9. What I'm trying to establish is that we are the new Levitical priesthood, if you will. So what is said to the priests of Levi has meaning for us. I'm trying to establish the groundwork there. So 1 Peter 2:9, a scripture that I think we are very familiar with. All right. In fact, I'd say probably a majority of us could actually say this one from memory, but we're not going to test it out. We're just going to go for it here. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Now, if we're priests, then we have to ask, well, what's that mean? What do we do? Well, I'm going to talk about that. Okay, so we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people. Now, when he says you're a chosen people and a royal priesthood and a holy nation, he's pretty much just repeating himself. He's saying the same thing three times. So we, as disciples of Jesus, are that small portion of humanity whose job it is to do the things that priests do. And we're going to have a five-part outline. Nice. We have a five-part outline, the things that God expects us to do. But if the priests were not ministering, if their priests were not doing their priestly duty, then the nation would have been unholy. And so, therefore, we're going to have this really cool five-point outline. Yes! Exciting five-point outline about the priests. Got it? All right? Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10. Saying mostly the same thing. There he is. Amen? Come on in, young man. Get a pastry on the way in. And they sang a new song. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. You are worthy to take the scroll, speaking of the Lamb, and to open its seals, because you were slain. With your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And these are the ones purchased from every tribe, people and nation. Not literally everyone. No, nobody from speaks Swahili here, but generally, okay? You have made them a kingdom of priests to serve our God. So that's our role. To serve God. By the way, the Greek word for serve and the Greek word for worship is the same word. You know, we say we're going to have a worship service. That's like saying Rio Grande River. You know, that's, you're being redundant there. Worship service. All right. So basically then our role is to serve God, to minister as a mediator between human beings and God. All right. Back in 1 Peter 2:5, again, I'm just trying to establish the foundation of why we're looking at what we're doing. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, back in verse 5, it talks about our job, if you will, our job as priests. Okay? You are like living stones, 1 Peter 2 verse 5, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. To do what? Oh, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, like which ones? Which ones would we be offering if you've been paying attention the last couple weeks? Like a grain offering or a burnt offering. There is a drink offering. There is a drink offering. There's a grain offering, but there's not a meat offering. Technically, the burnt offering is kind of a meat offering, except you just burn the whole thing up. So you can call it that, I guess. And then fellowship offerings, right? That's kind of our role is to essentially, you know, do all those things. I already talked about it. I'm not going to review it now. Okay? So really, the priest does two things, actually. The priest makes offerings, and the priest intercedes. All right? Makes offerings and intercedes. So, basically, then the priest is the bridge. In fact, the Latin word for a priest is pontifex, pontus, which is bridge. So the certain leader of a certain religion has the arrogance and pride to call himself the pontifex maximus. I'm the chief bridge between humans and, because that's not what the Bible says. Who is that chief bridge between humans and God? 1 Timothy 2:5-6. So, of the two things that priests are to do, one we definitely do, the other one we sort of do. I'll explain that later. 1 Timothy 2, my point is this, I do not need anybody to intercede between me and God. Okay, I don't need a priest. Oh wait, I need a high priest. 1 Peter 2:5-6, where it says, for there is one God and one mediator, one intercessor, one communicator, one, hey, this guy's okay, let him in, you know. You're trying to get a job, you need an intercessor. Zane, you need an intercessor. All right? You need an intercessor. There's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. So, does that mean we're unemployed then, since we're not, because, you know, Ken, you do not need me to intercede. You go direct to God. There you go. So, two roles for a priest. One is to offer sacrifices, those things, right? And then to intercede. But intercede for who? Hold the phone. Okay, I'll talk about that. In fact, that's going to be point five. So this priest sermon, which could be boring unless I present it super well. All right, it's point five. You're going to find out in what sense you also are an intercessor. But who are you not an intercessor for? Well, not for Jesus. He definitely doesn't need you as an intercessor. For each other, all right? We don't need a human being to intercede between us and God. But I'm going to come back there. So what we're going to do then is I'm going to go through a five-part outline about the things priests were supposed to do. And I believe all of those apply to us. Okay? Now, let's go to Leviticus. We're going to spend pretty much the rest of the time pretty much in Leviticus. Verses 8 through 10. There's a whole bunch of stuff about the priesthood in Leviticus. And there's even more actually in the book of Numbers. There's several chapters in Numbers about the priesthood, especially about the high priest. All right, but anyway, Numbers chapter 8 through 10, a very, very long, detailed description of the ordination of Aaron and his four sons to the priesthood. And they offered burnt offerings and sin offerings, and they poured the blood, and they splashed the blood here and there, and they're burning the fat around the kidney and the lobe, all this stuff. I'm going to spare you that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the very end. Leviticus 9:23-24. So this is kind of the culmination of the whole thing. Uh-oh. Oh, I'm in, no wonder, it's in Deuteronomy. It's like, what? Leviticus 9. So culminating this whole ordination, this establishment of this priesthood. Verse 23-24. It says, Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and it consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted for joy, and they fell face down. Now, normally, when they did a burnt offering, what they do is they'd take some wood, and they'd light a fire, and like that, you know what I'm saying? But this one, they just put all the stuff on the altar, and just... the glory of the Lord, it consumes it. It's awesome. So God's established his priesthood. Then, Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. So we're going to start our outline of things that we should be doing. All right, here we go. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. So they're offering prayer in the holy place with incense. It's awesome, right? Uh-oh. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and it consumed them. And they died before the Lord. Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. Aaron remained silent. Yeah, I think so. There's a New Testament thing that happened. This kind of reminds me of Ananias and Sapphira, right?
Right.
This is not something that God normally does. This is a one-off thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like every time anybody ever broke any rule about how the priest should do in the temple, God just blitzed them. And no, it's like the one-shot deal. God's trying to get their attention. Do you think this got Aaron's attention? Yeah. These are two of his sons that were killed. So what I learned for this? Well, God says, I will be proved holy and I will be honored. So what I learned from this is we better take God's word seriously, because God had specifically said, you cannot make this offering. All right. I do not think what we learned from this, if you slip up, you're going to be toast. I don't think we do not take that lesson home. But the lesson to take home is, as priests, we are to take God's word very seriously. We are to set a very high standard of honoring the word of God and obeying the word of God. So, pretty simple question for you this morning. How are you doing on that? How are you doing on honoring the word of God? On learning it, on studying it, on applying it to yourself and other people. And we're going to see other passages as we go along that the priest's role is to get the word of God out there, and to set a great example of obeying that word, teaching that word. All right, so do you honor God's word, and do you treat as holy the things of God? That's point number one. Now, Leviticus 10, verse 6, then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar. So Aaron had four sons. Nadab and Abihu. All right. So he's got Ithamar, and what's his name? The other dude. Eleazar. How do you think Eleazar and Ithamar are thinking right now? Ooh. It reminds me, you know, remember the Star Wars movies? Every time the Emperor would mess up, he'd get in a new one. And the last job you ever want to have in the Star Wars movie is kind of like that. You know what I'm saying? Wow. Do you think they took their job seriously after this? Do you think they made sure that they, I mean, honestly, if we had capital punishment for traffic violations, do you think people would obey the traffic laws?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they would. Okay. All right. So again, this is an interesting situation here, but the message is this, folks. Let's take God's word seriously. Let's learn it. Let's teach it. Let's obey it. Let's give honor to God. God wants us to take our priesthood very seriously, not seriously as in capital punishment from God. That's not what I'm saying, but here we go. Point number two, Leviticus 10, 8 through 10. All right. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. Do you think that Ithamar and Eleazar obeyed this admonition? Do you think they did after that?
Yeah.
I think they did. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean, so that you can teach the Israelites all the decrees the Lord has given them through Moses. What was point number one? Don't look up. Just don't look at the screen. What was point number one? Take God's words seriously. Point number two, distinguish between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and the clean. We just need to be aware of sin, and we need to call it out in our own lives. We need to be that way. Our priestly duty is to help people know the difference between the holy and the profane. That's a big fancy word, profane. The profane means common, if you will. We need to be different. The world needs to see a people who are holy and in some ways separate. Like I've said, I'm sure a few times since I've been here, not separate in what we eat, even the sports we play, generally even the clothes we wear, but different in the lifestyle that we lead, the kind of people we are. This passage is not intended to teach complete abstinence from alcohol, for example. All right? That's not the point. The point is, God wants us as His priests to do what? To help people to distinguish between what is holy and what is common, or profane, if you will. All right? Between what is clean and unclean. So God wants us as priests to seek holiness in our lives. Okay? Point number three. See, these are going to go sort of quick, actually. Point number three. I'm actually going to move to Numbers 18. This concept is in Leviticus, but to me it's somewhat more clearly stated in Numbers. Like I said, there's a ton of material on the priesthood in Numbers. In fact, there's quite a bit more material about the priesthood in Numbers, actually, than there is in Leviticus. So I'm going to sneak over to Numbers 18, verse 20. Point number one, take God's word very seriously. Know it and obey it. Point number two, help to distinguish between the holy and the holy, between the divine and the common. Point number three, Numbers 18:20. If you're in Leviticus, not hard to find Numbers, right? Numbers 18:20. Again, this concept is found in Leviticus. It's also found, it's found in several places in the Old Testament, actually, for the priests. But I chose this one because I think it states it the best. The Lord said to Aaron, you will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. All right, so you're aware there's these tribes, right? And each tribe had a territory. So over here, Danites, this is your area. Over here, you know, Asher, Gad, Reuben, the Sinai's land. But the Levites had no inheritance on this earth. Why? Because this world is not our home. So, like the Levites, who for whom the world was not their home, they had no inheritance. Their only inheritance was from God. And their sustenance came from God. Oh, by the way, through the grain offering, which it's mentioned many, many times. So we are to rely not on the things of the world, but on God Himself. Our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3:20-21, for example. All right, this applies very much to us. Philippians 3:20-21. See, you should be taking, we've got people taking notes. This is great. Of course, everything is always at my website. You can always get the notes, always get the PowerPoint there, but you know what I'm saying? Verse 20 and 21, it says, all right, but our citizenship is in heaven. We do not have an inheritance here, right? But your treasure is in heaven, not on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like His glorious body. So number three, we got to remember as priests that this world is not our home. This is not our inheritance. We live here. And by the way, the Levites lived in the promised land, and they even farmed. You know, they even had certain little areas in certain cities. God took care of them, but He wanted them to remember that this world is not our home. 2 Chronicles 31:4. 2 Chronicles, where's that? It's right after 1 Chronicles. Come on, that's not that hard to find. Second Chronicles 31, verse 4. It's kind of, you know, you got the Samuels and the Kings and the Chronicles and all that. Chronicles 31, verse 4. I like the way it's said here. All right. Uh-oh, I better find it. Where is it? Here we go. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to give the portions due the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves to the law of the Lord. So basically, God says, you're not going to have a possession in this land. In fact, I'm going to take care of you so that you can devote your lives to the law of the Lord. All right, so let me see. Oh, devoted to the Word of God, right? Knowing it and obeying it. Number two, learning to separate the holy from the unholy. The holy from the common, if you'll. Number three is knowing and recognizing and remembering that this world is not our home. Point number four. Wow, we're cranking. All right, Leviticus 21, 1 through 4. Leviticus 21. 1 through 4. Now, this begins a long series of rules for the priests. And I'm just going to reverse 1 through 4, but it keeps going. All right, and I'm not going to go into all of them because I don't think we'll be edified that much if I continue there. I'm just going to use basically one of the laws as kind of symbolic of all of them, if you will. Leviticus 21, 1 through 4. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests. All right, that's what I'm doing right here, speaking to the priests. All right, yes. Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, a priest must not make himself ceremonially unclean for any of the people who die, except for a close relative such as the mother or father, son or daughter's brother, or an unmarried sister who is dependent on him since she has no husband. He may make himself unclean. He must not make himself unclean for people related to him by marriage and so defile himself. And then he talks about cutting their hair and all this other stuff they can't do. So basically, the priest was not allowed to touch a dead body or to even be in the room where there was a dead body. You know the thing in was it Matthew where it says a bunch of whitewashed tombs and all that sort of stuff? And the reason they whitewashed the tombs was not to make it pretty. They whitewashed the tombs because you don't want to touch those things because if you do, become unclean. So basically then, Jesus said something. He said in Luke 9, I think it's 56 and 57, he said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. All right? So there are many things in which God says, you're going to be separate from them. I'm thinking of, for example, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. All right? We must not even touch or enter the room of a dead body. All right, so we are called in some ways to be separate, to be different. Now, if you continue in Luke 21, starting in verse 10, he's got rules for the high priest, and it was like, all right, so here's everybody else. All right, this is great. Here's the priest, and then the high priest had these rules up here. But we're gonna come back. We're gonna be back in Leviticus 21 next Sunday, and we're gonna read about the high priest. And awesome. It's pretty intense because bottom line is they weren't able even to leave the sanctuary at all during their entire time. Anyway, we'll see that. Okay. In fact, the Zadokites, you guys know about the Zadokites, right? You don't know about the Zadokites? Oh man, the Zadokites, they're amazing. Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44. I mean, the most boring part of the entire Bible is Ezekiel 40 through 48, trust me. But there's some stuff about the Zadokites there. The Zadokites, they were like the zealous, they were the priestesses of the priest or whatever. They were the ones that were God's example of what it really meant to be a priest. All right? Ezekiel 44. Now, you're not going to probably ever hear a sermon again, anything from Ezekiel 40 through 48, but there you go. We're going to go there because it's fun. But the Levitical priests who are descendants of Zadok. Who was Zadok? Who is that? I'll explain who he was. All right. But the Levitical priests who are descendants of Zadok and who guarded my sanctuary when the Israelites went astray. Oh, okay. So these are the priests that never, ever compromised. Ever. And if you read Ezekiel, the priests were doing some disgusting stuff. And I mean, it is shocking what the priests did in the temple. It's bad, 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 bad. The Zadokites, they were always faithful. Say they're one course of priests that God says, there are some priests I can really count on. All right. And so I want us to be Zadokites. All right. Next time we have a sports night against Fresno, we should call ourselves the Zadokites or something. Nobody will get it, but we'll get it. It'll be our inside joke, man. Because we're the Zadokites. We're the real priests, the ones who are actually behaving the way God expected them to be. All right? They come near to minister before me, there to stand before me and offer sacrifice. Now, in this symbolic temple of Ezekiel, the Zadokites were the only priests left. All the others were just ruled out. All right? They are to stand before me to offer sacrifices of fat and blood, declares the sovereign Lord. They alone are to enter my sanctuary. They alone are to come near my table to minister before me and serve me as guards. In verse 23 of Ezekiel 44, it says, they are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common. That's our job, to teach the world the difference between the holy and the common. That's a tough job up on campus. That's a tough job. Tough job at work. It's a tough job at the door making factory. To teach people the difference between the holy and the unholy. But we're Zadokites. You know what I'm saying? We show them how to distinguish between the clean and the unclean. Do they want to hear us tell them about the difference between the clean and the unclean? Probably not. But we're Zadokites. That's what we do. We're priests. And then in verse 28, it says, I am to be the only inheritance these Zadokite priests have. You're to give them no possession in Israel. I will be their possession. So God, again, that kind of reminds us of what we read in Leviticus. Okay. So we need to remember that although we're in the world, this world is not our home. Amen. Okay, last point. Now, I mentioned that priests, just generally, and even honestly, even in like Greek priests or, you know, Egyptian, any kind of priest, in any religion, priests kind of did two things. One is offer sacrifices and the other is to intercede between a God, in their case, is not even real, and us. So we as priests, I guess then, if we are God's priests, then we have this opportunity to offer those sacrifices, grain offering, drink offering, all that, and also to intercede. So who are we supposed to intercede for? Well, let's go to Romans 15. Romans 15. This is a passage that is not used very often. It's kind of interesting that it's not. Okay, Romans 15, verse 15 and 16. So we're to honor God's word, obey it, know it and obey it, right? We're to separate between the clean and the unclean, right? We're to recognize that this world is not our home, and we're to teach about the difference between holiness and unholiness. But number 5, Romans 15, 15 and 16, says here, yet I've written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I'm not interceding, all right, between, you know, Ken and God. Shay, you really don't, I mean, I could pray for you, but it's not really changing the relationship with God. I got it? But we are intercessors for the lost. because there's nobody else speaking to God for them. So that's why we pray for them. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time praying for the lost. And I could name off the list. I've got 10 people roughly I'm praying for every day. I'm interceding for them. And it is, brothers and sisters, it is our priestly duty. It is our priestly duty to do what Paul's saying here, right? Which is to be a minister to the Gentiles. It's our priestly duty to proclaim the gospel of God. All right? So, no, we don't intercede for each other. You don't need a priest. All you need is a high priest, Jesus, and you have him. But we are interceding for Victor. We're interceding for, what's the surname, your two friends? We're talking about your two friends. One of them came to Bible talk on Tuesday. Those guys. We're interceding for fill in the blank. Got it? That's what we are. So we have that priestly duty to offer sacrifice to intercede. 2 Corinthians 5:18-20, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's making his appeal through us. Amen? So that's our outline. All right, so we learned about this interesting thing called the Levitical son of Aaron priesthood, which at first you think, okay, well, whatever, that's nice for the Jews, but, you know, not really for us. But we've learned a few things. Because we are the antitype, of which the priesthood of Aaron is the type. And we have our priestly role and our priestly duty. To summarize, we should honor and obey God's word. We should distinguish between the holy and the profane. We should be devoted to God and his kingdom and not put roots down here. We need to maintain personal holiness and separation from the things that defile and teach others to do the same. And we are to fulfill our priestly duty to lost, to intercede for them, because otherwise they're in a bad place. And that's our lesson for today. And we have a song from Zane.